Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. It's an honor again to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's one of those things that you take for granted, and until you don't have it anymore. Amen. Until you have to pray on Zoom. until you can no longer turn to your neighbor and say, "I love you." You don't see the value of it. Amen. So I'm humbled again to be in the house of the Father, my Father, today. Amen. I'm humbled to be in Shiloh. Apostle Joy has just said, we had a minister. I have a ministry of women. We are called the Women of God. And we had an event, and I invited Apostle Joy through Pastor Jackie Mugabo. Although I invited many people, she was one of the elders that came to support us, and we connected from there. She's where I come from. We say that when you have a pearl, a necklace made out of pearls, you can't see how white or bright it is because you're wearing it. You might not see how white and bright this pearl is. But to us who are outside, to us who call us when we need her, for her to pray with us and minister to us, we know what kind of pearl she is. And I'm humbled to be in the house under the authority of Pastor Reuben and Apostle Joy. May God bless you. My name is Belize, like she said. I'm a mother. But before I was a mother, I'm a wife. I'm married. Amen. There is a man who found that it was worthy for him to come see my father. I was very young. I didn't know what I was going into, but he knew. So he came and he sought my father. And next month it will be 17 years. And I give glory to God Almighty who sustained us. I'm a mother of 3 children. Yes. So God has been really good to me. Really, really, really good to me. And I give him glory. So right now, we're going to bow down. We're going to pray a little bit. Minister Mercy kind of spoiled my preaching because she said it all. But, you know, I'll try and join and add to what she has already said. Amen. But the Spirit of the Lord is the same, isn't it? Amen. Heavenly Father, I give you glory. I worship you. I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, Lord God, that I don't take for granted, Lord God. Father God, you know that I have nothing I could offer to these people, my Lord, my God. But with your Spirit, O Heavenly Father, since you found me worthy, O Lord God, of standing here before your people, my Lord, my God. Father, I pray that you minister to each and every one of them, O Lord God. Father, whether they are online, whether they are here, Lord God, wherever they are, Lord God, whether they will hear it today or tomorrow, Lord God, whenever they will hear this preaching, Father God, Father, I pray that your Spirit, Lord God, ministers to each and every one of us, oh Lord God. Father, let your word break the yokes of the enemy in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God. Let your word, oh Lord God, destroy everything that you did not build. Let it uproot, Lord God, every plant, every seed you did not plant in our lives, my Father, my God. Let your word sustain what you have built in us, Lord God. Let it strengthen, oh Lord God, feeble, Lord God, bones, Father God. Where, my Father, my God, we cannot see. Let it be the light that it is, oh Lord God. And Father God, let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be accepted unto you. In the name of Jesus, I prayed and I thank you and I love you. Amen. Amen. So today, it's a bit of a particular one. I'm going to talk about knowledge. Amen. I'm going to talk about, if I could name this, I would say, if you could know what is a threat to you. Amen. If we go in, 1 second. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. So if we go in Hosea 4:6, chapter 4, verse 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason I'm laughing is because I asked my sister since I came, and then my Bible is in French. So I asked my sister to put all the verses in English on my iPad. And somehow she started from the second page. So the first page. Amen, amen, amen. So Hosea, Prophet Hosea, poor man. We know his story. And God was teaching him to understand what somehow God was going through with the children of God. Amen. Him being with them, being with God today, rejecting him tomorrow, running after other gods, coming back. He forgives them. He brings them back. He loves them again. They are not satisfied. Somehow they manage to go and find other gods. And then for him to understand that, I'm sure you all know the story of Hosea. God gave him a prostitute as a wife. Now, that's a bit of a funny one. Somehow, I mean, I cannot imagine, I don't know about Ugandans, but I cannot imagine a Burundian man or a Rwandese man, God tells him, go and find that prostitute, the one that everyone knows in the neighborhood that she is a prostitute. It's not secret. Everyone knows she is one. Yet God sent him, say, go and marry her. And they will have a child, she will run away. They will have another child, go bring her back, she'll run away. She will pay the dowry to another man for that man to give him back. It was a mess. Anyway, somewhere along the line, he wrote, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Amen. This is God speaking, and he's telling Hosea, he's not telling him, my people are perishing because they're sinning. No, my people are not perishing because... He's saying they are perishing because of the lack of knowledge. Now, what is knowledge? If we look in John 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus gives another similar scenario where he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He says, if my words abide in you, Amen. And you are my disciples, then you shall know the truth. Now, Hosea said that we are perishing because of lack of knowledge. Jesus is saying that my truth shall set you free. Amen. So my truth, in other words, the more you know your God, because the Bible calls Jesus truth, right? He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Amen. So whatever we say, my truth shall set you free. We shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In other words, you shall know me, and I will set you free. Amen. He did not say you shall pray 10 times a day and you will be free. Because let's face it, our brother Muslims, they can pray I'm not even going to go there. Amen. We've got religions that can pray day and night. But are they in the truth really? For Jesus is the only truth. Amen. I am a firm believer of that. And I believe everyone here believes that. So Jesus said, you shall know me. And this knowledge he's using, it's not a knowledge, how can I say? It's not a knowledge that, hi, my name is Belize. And then you go, hi, my name is Andrew. If I walk out and they say, hey, do you know Andrew? I say, yeah, I know Andrew. I just met him. But do I really know Andrew? Do I really? It's one thing knowing that Jesus died and was resurrected. It's another thing knowing him on a deeper level. The understanding that he did it, not just for the sake of it, but he loved you so much, Titus, that he looked at you and he said, you were so worthy of all the insults, of everything that I'm going through. A fully grown man, his clothes were torn. They hung him up naked. I mean, try to imagine a Burundian man. I don't know about Ugandans. Try to imagine. He's not a fool. His mind is intact. But when he did that, he did not focus on his pain. He did not focus on the shame. But his eyes was on the glory that was to come. His eyes was on the fact that because of that, I will be free. Amen? So knowing, when he said, you shall know the truth, if you say, you shall know me, it means I shall know him on a personal level. There is a way that I know Sonia, for example, and there is a way Pastor Joey knows Sonia. I can look, when you know someone, you can look at that person and say, that person is upset. That person is happy. Yeah, the person has the same face. Amen? There is a way you can say, by the look that she just gave me, by the look my husband just gave me, I know he's giving me a message. Amen? I don't know about Uganda, but when we were growing up, we could be in a party and you could be sitting anyhow like this. Then my mom had a look. I don't know how. It comes with being an African mom, amen? She had a look. I remember there is one thing my mom could not stand is chewing a gum. She can't stand someone chewing a gum. So for her, if you're going to chew a gum, go and do it in your privacy. I don't know why it has to be private to chew a gum. But to her, it was rude. So you're sitting somewhere and you're chewing a gum. You're not even, your mouth is not even open, but you're doing... She will turn around. She will look at you for a few seconds, then turn back. And you will know. It's either I'm not sitting right. You check yourself, my legs are together. My back is straight. Then you remember you are chewing something. Without anyone telling you something, you will take the chewing gum out and then find it where to put it. So that's because I knew her. Amen. With Jesus, the knowledge of him, the reason why it will set you free is because the knowledge of him will create some sort of a connection between what is terrestrial and what is heavenly. Amen. Somehow you do not operate in this world that we live in. Hallelujah. We see Jesus on the boat. Amen. There is storm. And he's sleeping. He is sleeping. He's fine. He is sleeping. The storm hits. The apostles forgot who he was. Their eyes were on the storm. We are dying because they removed their eyes from the one who just did miracles before they went on the boat, and the eyes were on the storms. And guess what? What crept in? Fear. Fear crept in. Hallelujah. Now, why do we fear? Is it because Jesus is not with us? Is it? It's not. It's not. It's because for a moment we forget that he is with us. Hallelujah. Peter had trust in his capacity to handle water. He was a fisherman. But at the same time, the knowledge of the sea is what gave him fear. Because he knew what that kind of storm can do. There is nothing more worrying than a doctor who's worried about sickness. He studied this thing. He understands it. He knows it. But it takes a deeper relationship with the maker for him to understand that even if he's laying on this bed, oh hallelujah, the psalmist said that I ascend up in heaven, there you are. I lay down in the depth of the grave, you are there too. So he will know that although he's laying on this bed, although they have told him and then they don't even need to explain much. You know, when they're explaining things to us, we don't understand and they have to go deeper. But he's a doctor. Before they begin to explain, he says, I know. I know. There is no need. Spare your time. I know. So it takes a deeper knowledge of he who's in him for him to understand that even on this bed that I'm laying on, there you are. Here you are. It takes him a deeper knowledge of the one who died for him to understand that, oh my Father, oh Jesus, when they were beating you up, when they were giving you scars, those wounds, it's in those wounds that I'm healed. Not in this medication, not in the science, but in your wounds. And it's at that moment that he tells himself knowledge. Which in this moment is the wrong knowledge. Knowledge, be quiet. This is the knowledge that I'm holding on to. My eyes may not see it. Like Mercy sang, the cameras may not capture it. But I know that my Redeemer lives. Therefore, I am okay. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, he will tell his sickness that he is the one who delivers me from the bondage. Oh, Jeremiah told the children of God that fear not. Fear not. They wanted to run away. Jeremiah in 42, he told them, verse 11, the Lord told Jeremiah, go tell them, you will find favor in the eyes of the Lord. You will find favor in the king of Babylon. Hallelujah. You will find favor. I don't know what you're going through. Hallelujah. Back in Africa, when you owe money to someone, you play hide and seek with the person. Hallelujah. But if you know that God can give you favor before the king of Babylon, you know surely that he will give me favor. I will find favor and he will open those doors and I will walk out. I don't know how many years you've been locked in this country. Some of us, we've been locked just for 2 years. Some of you have been locked here for longer. Because there is someone who thinks that he has the right to decide who stays in this country that he knows, in this country, and who doesn't. But what he does not know nor understand, hallelujah, is that before you landed in this country, the Lord has told you, I will give you that country in possession. Oh, your forefathers never knew this country, but you shall conquer. Hallelujah. And when they send you a letter, small testimony of a woman I was, she's a, one of the women of God. And been praying for her husband to be released from whatever he was. You know when the enemy can thinks he can hold you somewhere. And you know that your time to come out has come. Yet the enemy continues pursue. Hallelujah. And he makes his angels, demonic angels, walk in that place. And you are locked in a place where you know you shouldn't be. Hallelujah. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation that we put ourselves in. Hallelujah. But it doesn't matter where you are. If you go down on your knees and you say that I have sinned against you, my Father, forgive me. His word says he's faithful to forgive you. And for some of you, you've done more than your time in that place. That's what the case for my sister. So the reason why I'm telling you this is just to tell you how the enemy can sit on things that heaven have already released. Amen. So in that situation, this gentleman was told he was going to be deported. They have children. He is a father. He is not a runaway father. He is an active father. And he's going to be deported. And we made a declaration. We made a declaration. The Spirit of the Lord by His grace came upon us while we were praying. And He revealed to us that someone was sitting, had purposely locked the case so that nothing could be done about it and the guy had to be deported. And said, release, open that door and command that man to come out of it by 10 a.m. the next day. It was prayer night, my friends. It was around 10 p.m. The woman called me around 9:30. She couldn't even speak. She was screaming. She said, he's out. It does not matter. It does not matter sometimes because God has been faithful, has favored you and has put someone in a place of authority. They think that they can do whatever they want. But I've come to tell you that if Jesus says, whom I've set free is free indeed. Let no man die in bondage. Amen. We suffer for lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. And we fear not because it's too scary. My friend, there are things you saw yesterday, years back, that were deeper than what you're going through today. But somehow the enemy has managed to convince you that what you're going through now is going to kill you. The devil is a liar. Amen. When I read that word, that says that even when I lay down in the depth of the grave, you were there. I was like, my God, how I wish I knew this word back in Burundi in 2004 where there were grenades and shootings and whatnot, everything going crazy. And you see airplanes bombarding places and you hear I can't call them missiles, but you hear them bombs. There was at some point there was this bomb. It would make a noise when it's released. It makes a sound when it's going, and you hear it. So you wait. You wait. You don't know where it's gonna land. Then it makes another sound when it lands, and if you're still alive, you're like, praise the Lord. Then you wait for the next one. How I wish I had known that even there on my ground, when everything within me is turning. How I wish I had known. Oh, Kenderebro Sikaya Baba, that even there he was with me. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, the enemy uses fear to terrorize us. He uses sin. We've been preached. I went to a funeral a few days back, and I've heard people saying, and we were taught to control sin. Why? Because we are told, do not fornicate, do not steal, do not kill, do not. But little do we realize, or how much do we forget that was before the Spirit of the Lord came. And since the Spirit of the Lord has come, since Jesus has come, hallelujah, I'm no longer in bondage of sin. Hallelujah. When he went on the cross, hallelujah, I will tell you what set me free. Because I grew up in a Catholic home, and I was even part of a choir. So, you know, I was taught, this is how you do things, this is how you do things. You don't do this, you do that. Right? But what set me free was the word in Romans 6. Hallelujah. Can someone bring up from verse 1, please? I'm just going to read verse 1 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Paul is asking, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? 2. Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? 12. Listen, what did Paul just say? He just said, we died to sin. Amen. You died to sin means that thing does no longer exist. You, according to that thing, as long as that thing is concerned, you do not exist. You are not in that realm. Now, you're going to ask me, Pastor Belize, how then do we come and we sin? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So it can come to your mortal body, but do not let it reign, that you should obey it in its lust. Hold on. So I have power over sin. This is a game changer, my friend. So hold on a second. So I don't need to be scared of lying, of telling a lie. No. I can tell my tongue, you are not going to say that. And my tongue will obey. Hallelujah. I can tell to my body when it's lusting for the wrong things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, I'm a married woman. But for single people, it's lusting for the person. Buddy, behave yourself. Behave yourself. I command you. I don't care what's running up and down in me, but I command you. Your blood flow, regulate yourself. You shall not concentrate in one part of my body. Regulate yourself. I'm talking to my brothers. I tell myself, control yourself, woman. My friend. Everything that has been created, God called them and they existed, which means they hear. My friend, every single part of your body can hear. Eyes, I command you. I don't care how shaped that woman is. I command you. Shut yourself up. Amen. And you know you can hear your thoughts going somewhere. The devil is a liar. He can even find you in a church. You are sitting there. You are praising. You are worship. A brother comes and starts acting funny. Then all of a sudden, your thoughts are traveling. You say thoughts. Behave yourself. My eyes shall be on the Lord. And on the Lord only. You command your eyes, your thoughts, and everything within you to focus on the Lord. Hallelujah. We are no longer in bondage. Neither of sin or anything else. Or anything else. For if he has made me free, Belize walk in freedom. It's one thing. You know you can win the lottery if they tell you you have won the lottery, right? Do you have the money there and then? You don't, huh? But my friend, you will change the way you walk. Still walking in a funny way. You just won the lottery. You have not received the money. Hallelujah. You start calling people in Africa. Say, worry not. It is okay. It is okay. As a matter of fact, go in, I don't know where, in Kampala and look for a good land. You start visiting Chelsea and say, I don't like that house. Last week you liked it. I don't like it. I don't like the windows. You have not received the money, but you have received an information that told you. Information, my friend, is key. We do not receive because we did not get the information. You receive an email that tells you you have been granted asylum. You have been granted leave to remain indefinitely in the UK. All of a sudden, you don't speak English. Now you change. Now you start speaking in a certain way because now, you know, the accent comes in. Information is key. Have you seen a woman who has been asked for in marriage? With the ring. They can't say a single word without this hand going. Hallelujah. So I was going. Then I came back. Then he said, she's not married yet. Huh? As a matter of fact, now thanks to social media, now we know. But as back in the day, in Burundi, people are serious. Someone could ask for a girl in marriage, three girls in marriage at the same time. Hey, Bujumbura is hot. So you can ask three girls in marriage, three girls. So on the day of the wedding, we don't know who's going to be married. These things happen. But that woman, because she received the information that someone is going to marry her, she carries herself like a married woman. But she's not married yet. It's just information. This thing is not legal, you know. Engagement ring, my sisters, don't be fooled. It's not legal. It illegalizes absolutely nothing. It gives absolutely no right whatsoever. It doesn't. And that is the truth. Some people have been engaged for 5-6 years. That's prison. That's no engagement. I'm sorry to say. Engagement means nothing. It means I'm committed. But the true commitment is when you sign. Amen. It's when you sign. Now there is the law. There is you. There is the man. Hallelujah. Now when you come to the house of the Lord, now there is God. There is you. There is a man. Now that has value. But someone has given you information and all of a sudden you are okay. Information is key. Hallelujah. You can live in bondage. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. In bondage. Fearful. Fearful that what killed your mom can kill you too. Because your mom died of cancer, because your dad died of cancer, because people do not get married in your family. You're reaching 30. You're shaking and quaking. Hallelujah. Because men die at a younger age in your family. You're reaching 40. You're shaking and quaking. But I've got good news for you. If any man be in Christ, he is what? He just got born. So there is no history. You know when you commit a crime for the first time, they search for your name. No record. Hallelujah. So when you just be born new, born again, you have no history. Hallelujah. So it does not matter what killed your uncle. It does not matter if your auntie could not stay in her marriage. It does not matter whatever happened. You were a new creation, and behold, all things are new. All things are passed away. All things new. So whatever my mom went through, that's no longer my portion. And the knowledge of that makes me live free. I'm free to love. I'm free to be happy. I'm free. And even if I see symptoms of what my mom may have gone through, I say, devil, you knocked on the wrong door. I am no longer that one's daughter. I am the daughter of the Most High God. And listen, this is a new covenant. I am a new creation. You can't enter here. You have no place. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. And as I was preparing, the Spirit of the Lord was talking to me about fear, about bondage, about sin. And he said, the other thing that is making my children not understand who I am really and truly is trials and tribulations. Spirit of the Lord, how long have I got, Pastor? Sorry. About 5 minutes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Let me wrap that up. Trials and tribulations. We hate trials. We hate tribulations. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. But James says, when we go through trials and tribulation, count it all joy. Why? Because trials and tribulation will create patience in us. Hallelujah. And in the end result is what? The end result is that we lack nothing. We lack nothing. Hallelujah. What trials and tribulations do, they kill this mortal belief. Hallelujah. And they set my eyes on the things from above. Hallelujah. I'm no longer controlled by my emotions, but I'm steadfast, knowing that he who's on my side, even when I'm weak, he makes me strong. Hallelujah. With his right hand, he upholds me. So it doesn't matter, I can no longer kneel. Even when I'm laying on the ground, he can still
bring me up. Hallelujah. The knowledge of it make me. James had understood that. That's why he said, count it all joy. Because he's not focusing on the trials and tribulations. He's focusing on what is to come after that. Hallelujah. How many times we went through things yesterday, a few years back, and we thought it was done. We thought we were going to die. Now we look back at it. And I feel like if I could go back and talk to Belize 5 years ago and tell her, child, it's okay. Hallelujah. He brought you from far, too far, to leave you here. Hallelujah. The understanding of what His word says about you. The understanding of what He sees when He looks at you. I know it's not easy for a Ugandan woman, for example, not to have a bum. In Burundi, you have plenty of them that don't have that. But even if you're a Ugandan woman, you are shaped like that, it's okay. Because when... it's okay. Why? Because when you understand that after He created you, my sister, He looked at you and He said, fearfully, wonderfully made in my own image. So it does not matter if they say that what is on fashion is round. You will know it can be round, it can be flat, it can be pointy, it can be anyhow. I am fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. Hallelujah. It does not matter. It does not matter. If you believe that within, you will change even the way you carry yourself. I remember when I came to this country, I could see women in Brixton wearing things shaped in hand. I'm like, Jesus is Lord. You were shaped like that, you can't wear that. But it's because they understood themselves. It does not matter how you see me. What matters is how I see myself. Hallelujah. Yes, I've put on a few pounds here and there, everywhere. But I'm still fearfully, wonderfully made in my own, in God's image. You can meet me and say, I've never seen an ugly woman like you. That's your business. I am beautiful. That knowledge, that understanding will make you not take anybody's nonsense. Hallelujah. It will make you say, if you can't appreciate that, not your portion. Goodbye, my brother. I might be ugly for you, but it's your eyes. One day, when the Lord will open your eyes, you will see. But right now, you are not ready for that. Hallelujah. I've got a friend of mine. She's very, very into Christ. Her name is Anais. When you tell her, Anais, wow, you're beautiful. She goes, I've always been beautiful, but it's the grace of the Lord that just opened your eyes. Hey! Now, that's not pride. That's understanding of who she is. Am I preaching to someone today? Hallelujah! Praise His holy name. Information is key. I remember one day my daughter was going through, my youngest one, she was going through a period where she was not sleeping at night. She would wake up 3 times at night and it was making the whole house really tired. And she wasn't a baby, but it's because of whatever she was going through. And I spoke to a friend of mine. I like friends when you speak to them. They immediately bring the word of God into it. So I said, really help me pray for it. She said, it's okay, we're not going to waste time praying for that. Because listen, the Bible says that she shall lay down, she shall wake up, and she shall be at peace. It shall be so for her. So every time she goes to bed, begin, you the mother, understand that. Don't let the devil lie to you that she's going to wake up tonight. Speak to her. Speak that word in her life and say, Kiona, you will sleep. This is what it says in Psalm 3:5. You will sleep. You will lay down. You will sleep. And you will wake up at peace. Good night. In Jesus' name. That child slept all night. I woke up in the morning. Myself who prophesied that word, I was shocked. Information is key. So for a child who's battling a diagnosis of autism and overnight.
Woo! There are those things I remember and I'm like, Jesus!
It does not matter. It does not matter. If you give me a word about it, it is well with me. So I'm going to close because I'm past my time, but I'm going to close and say Romans 8:32 said that he who did not spare his own son for you, Apostle Joy, even before you knew him, he did not spare his son. He looked at me. He looked at the sinful young person that I was. It's not easy being light-skinned in Africa, my friend. He looked at me and he said, when I think about your goodness, I can't sing like Mercy, and your faithfulness each day, I can confess.
Hallelujah. Minister Mercy, is she in the house? Hallelujah.
And his faithfulness each day. I confess it's not because I am worthy. So if I was not worthy of it, then when I was as dirt can be, hallelujah, yet he loved me. Yet he gave me his life. Yet he looked at me with a voice like no other man. I had heard men lying to me that they love me. It was lust. It was not love, my friend. It was lust.
And I looked at them, and the spirit in me just lied as well as I love you back. The voice a liar. But that day, that man of Jerusalem, that Jewish man, he looked at me and he said, I love you. I love you. Hey, Kerebos. And on that day I understood that I was loved. So I did not need my husband to confirm that he loves me. If he does, to God be the glory. But if he doesn't, that man who went on the cross because I was worthy. I was born after 9 years of marriage. They could not have children. But I don't think my mom would have gone on the cross for me. But he looked at me. I was dirty. I was disgusting. I was a liar. I was in fornication. I was manipulative. He looked at me. He said, I love you. Hallelujah.
You knew it was
love.
I saw it all. Still I chose the cross.
He loved me.
You were the one that Hallelujah. I was thinking of when I Hallelujah. Rose from the grave.
Hey.
Now rid of your shackles, my victory's yours.
I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're already
receive your glory. So it does not matter. It does not matter if no one had really and truly loved you. It does not matter that even the man who sleeps next to you, the father of your children, does not love you. It does not matter even if the womb that carried you does not love you. It does not matter. Because that man of Nazareth, he loves you. And because he loves you, and because heaven and earth are his, because everything is his, I've got good news for you. It is well with you.
Hallelujah.
It is well with you. Everyone can reject you. Everyone can hate you. Everyone can even plot against you. But if you're going to live with something today, I don't know who I'm preaching to. But if you're going to live with something today, live with the knowledge that he is the Father, that your Father is the maker of heaven and earth, but above all, that he loves you. He does not love you because you come to church. He does not love you because you're good. Because the Bible says that there is nothing that I could have done that could have made me acceptable unto him. It's not his grace, if not his blood and his grace. He loves you. And I've got greater news. Is there nothing, no life, no death, no angels, no demons, no principalities?
Hey! Good news. You know that no one can go to heaven to gossip about you. So no one, even if they try, the devil has tried. But we've got an advocate.
And it's because of that that nothing can separate you or I from that love. I have breastfed 3 children. But tomorrow, they can hate me. Humans are humans. My mom, who waited for me for 9 years, tomorrow she can disgrace me. My husband, to whom I gave the best part of my youth, tomorrow he can disgrace me. But my God will never leave me nor forsake me. If a woman cannot forget a child she's breastfeeding, he surely cannot forget me. Says, even if that woman can forget, I. It's impossible. So if there is anyone, who wants to understand that love, who has felt unloved, and who says, Lord, show me your love. If you want us to pray for you to get the hunger and thirst to read his word so that you can understand him. You're not speaking English because you woke up in the morning and started speaking English. No, you learned English. Hallelujah. You spent time reading and you came to understand the language and speak the language. Praise his holy name. So if it's you here tonight or online, thank you, Pastor. Online, you don't know this love that I'm talking about. This love that is never going to change. I mean, I rest in the assurance that nothing will ever separate me from his love. So because of that assurance, I love freely. I don't love because of fear.
Hallelujah.
It's not because of fear that I love him, but I love him freely. And I can love him because he taught me how to love. If there is anyone, just reach your hand. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, Heavenly Father,
Father God, you found me in my house, Lord God. Father, in my tears, Lord God. Father God, I was broken, Lord God. Father, I thought I knew, Lord God. But Jesus, Jesus, with your sweet voice, you showed me true love. You loved me. You whispered, I love you. Oh, sweet voice. Father God, if you did it for me, Lord God, Father God, you can do it for my brother, Lord God. You can do it for my sister, Lord God. It does not matter what she has been told, oh Lord God, countless times. It does not matter that he was not showed love when he was little, Lord God. It does not matter, my Father, my God. It does not matter the names that she has been called throughout her life. Father God. Your word is a game changer, Lord God. Father, teach them. Father, teach them who you are, Lord God. Father, minister to each and every one of them, Lord God. I cancel every name called in the name of Jesus. I said, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. You were a liar when we're using those people to say that these children will mount up to nothing. Hallelujah.
But today I speak of our life and I say, you have been set apart. You are precious in his eyes. Royal priesthood. There is none like you. When God created you, he created you one of your kind. And he created one of my kind. He's not a lazy God to make copies. Father God, it does not matter what he's been told. It does not matter the lies that he will not succeed, that he did not study enough, he did not qualify enough. I don't know what lies made you feel that you were unqualified. I shut those voices down in the name of Jesus. Therefore, you're a liar. Be free for whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Be free from the lies of the enemy. Be free. Be free. Oh, I worship you, Lord God. You will not fail as a father because you did not have a father that showed you how to be one. The devil is a liar. You will be one and you will be a great one and you will raise a generation like no other in your family. Asante Buana. May your name be exalted, Lord God. May your name be exalted. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.